a small sampling of a part of my ride to work every morning, folks. This is what you get to hear when you're in the elite bicycle minority. Maybe this will be the new Bikescape theme song.
Gave away my 64, now I miss him evermore. Steady Eddie was his name, now I always bear the shame. No more rides on mine, no more rides on mine. No more rides, no more rides, no more rides on my cruiser.
Yes, you ride.
Okay, folks. It's 5:15 in the morning. I'm out here on San Jose Avenue. I just pulled over to turn on the iRiver because I thought of something to say. It's time for a bicycle rant. I'm pretty happy that I found something to say because having a little trouble coming up with the proper... some plans fell through about this week's presentation in the podcast, and I thought it would be a... had to come up with an alternate plan. The old iRiver was malfunctioning during a long interview I did last week. So, something was malfunctioning anyway. But I'm running down San Jose Avenue here in a bike lane that's about, I'd say about 5 years old already. Yours truly helped put it in along with some other people, Paul Nixon and Mary Brown of the Bike Coalition at the time. But it was a hard-fought battle. This little section of San Jose Avenue is, you know, I think most people think it's a freeway. And I'm not exaggerating. I mean, I think it really does look like a freeway. At one end, it even has green freeway signs. You know, that's that part of it's actually owned by Caltrans. So people drive real fast. And however you may feel about bike lanes, you really do have to separate the fast traffic from the slow on this street because they don't coexist very well. Now, when you get down to Randall Street over here, where I'm just approaching, I hope you can hear me with all this wind, the bike lane just disappears. We couldn't get that park. Until, that is, about 6 months ago, well, about a year ago, a woman named Jillian showed up on the scene. Not a bicyclist, a driver mostly, actually. She has two kids in preschool, and she drives them everywhere, and they may even be a two-car family. But they live right here on San Jose Avenue. And they don't... God, it's so windy. Got a good headwind right now. I hope you can hear this. Last time we did this, I don't think we had the big headwind, and maybe even had a tailwind that day. Going down a big hill, so I'm just sort of thinking about putting my eyes back in my head here. So Jillian, carefully running a red light. It's 5 o'clock in the morning, okay, folks? Give me a break. So Jillian came on the scene, and she rallied the neighbors. And that's when things started to take off here. So this section between Randall and Cesar Chavez, if you have a map, maybe I'll put a Yahoo map up on the blog, are still three lanes in each direction, six lane. And it's not a freeway anymore. It's obviously a street. There's housing on it, and there's cross streets. But at this point, what we're going to do is turn it into two lanes in each direction and put a bike lane in here, all the way from Cesar Chavez up to Randall, to where the other bike lanes now end. So the effect of this will be similar to the effect of what happened on Valencia Street, or the street we're about to go down. A lot of people who don't like bike lanes they have some valid points, I think. And the thing about Valencia and San Jose Avenue is that the whole concept of the bike lane was broadened. It wasn't so much to separate the fast traffic from the slow traffic as what was necessary, you know, on the upper part of San Jose Avenue where it's a freeway. But it's actually to take space away from the cars and reclaim it, give it back to the cyclists. And in so doing, calm the traffic on the entire street and make the place a better neighborhood for the people who live there and don't even ride a bike. Just took a left onto Valencia, back into the wind again. I'm riding my Soma track bike this morning. I can barely feel the wind in my going slightly uphill, this one little section of Valencia here. Easily slicing through 6 lanes of Cesar Chavez right now without having to stop the light. Valencia used to be kind of a hellish place to ride a bike. It was a hellish place. And even if you were a good bicyclist, it was a hard place to ride a bike. It's always a hard place to drive, and it was a hard place to walk. It was just a hard place in general. And I think it's because of the negative effects of just having too many cars on the street and giving them too many options about which lane they want to be in. There's lots of left turns and right turns. So in Valencia, we had 4 lanes, 2 in each direction, with a painted, just a double yellow stripe down the middle. And at one point there was a painted median, and then they took away the painted median in order to make the bike lane, the lane where bicycles ride with the cars, a little wider. And the effect there was that it made things actually worse. That was kind of the policy of DPT at that time, Department of Parking and Traffic, who engineers the streets, was that cars should ride in traffic, and we should make a lot of room so they can stay out of the way of traffic. And what that did was made the cars go faster, because it gave them the illusion that they could pass the bicycles, that there was room. There often was, but they didn't have to change lanes to do it. And it caused some crazy driving. And Valencia was a perfect example, because Valencia is a street with a lot of stores, a lot of sidewalk life. Although at that time, sidewalk life was not what it is now. The changes came around 1999, all due to a committee formed by Mary Brown, who later went on to work for the Bike Coalition. And what we have now is a painted median with a left turn arrows in it, sort of like a suicide lane is what some of my friends call it. Cars can enter it from either direction to make a turn into a driveway or whatever. And then at the intersections, the bike lane becomes available to cars at each intersection, about 100 feet before the intersection. And then there's a left turn pocket, a little left turn lane, digs into the both ways. A little left turn lane moves into the median, and you can make a left turn there. So what happened is all the cars ended up in one lane, the bicyclists ended up in one very wide 7-foot lane, way out of the way of the door zone. And it made it easier for the drivers as well as for the cyclists, because even though the drivers were slowed down and they all had to be packed into one lane, they didn't have to worry about which lane they were going to be in until they got to the intersection to make a turn. So there was no jockeying around. The only problem you still have now is cars waiting to parallel park on the side of the road, because they used to be they blocked the street, you know, the car lane, and now they block the bicycle lane. The churches were happy because they were able to go back to when they had a painted median and park all their overflow cars on Sundays in the middle of the street. But the effect has been really good for bicycling. There's been like a 50% increase immediately after the bike lanes went in, and I think it's probably been increasing slowly over the years from that. Over here on Valencia, it's just this bike freeway nowadays. It looks like it almost, not quite, looks like it could be a street in Amsterdam. Maybe one of the less minor, maybe one of the minor streets in Amsterdam, where bikes go. So I understand there's a charrette coming up. Between the time I finish recording this and when I put this online, I'll put it on the website. Bikescape.blogspot.org. I'm gonna stop for this late, because there's cars coming. Yeah, okay. Just taxis. Taxis are the fellow outlaws of the road. Anyway, there's a charrette coming to just get community input if you live in San Francisco, especially if you live in the Mission or if you ride on the Mission. If you ride your bike in the Mission, you really should go to these things. They collect information. A charrette is where they collect information from the neighborhood. People break up into small groups typically. They unroll a piece of butcher paper on the wall. People give their opinions of various things that need to happen. They're, you know, coming from the viewpoint of the neighborhood itself. So, I'm a busy man. I barely have time for this podcast, but I'm going to try and make it. I have an interest. I'd like to see the painted median give way to an actual landscape, raised median. No palm trees, though. And no Caltrans eucalyptus with Algerian ivy growing up the side. I hope I can get a talk with Mary Brown sometime before this is over, before I upload this. I'm going to try and talk to her today and get her ideas, because she was one of the people, she was the instrumental force in getting this thing going here on Valencia. She really changed bicycle history in this town. Since I got another couple of minutes to talk here, I will say that the time in history when Mary brought this whole thing forward with Valencia, when she started the process, it was almost immediately after the 1997 critical mass, July 97, when Willie Brown had vowed to shut down critical mass and caused a huge backlash among just about all the city's cyclists. Not just the city, people came in from everywhere. We had a ride. We must have had 10,000 people, and the police had vowed to shut us down. Anyway, that's a subject for another story, but a lot of people at the time were worried that as a result of what happened, that critical mass, that there was a lot of ill will towards cyclists. And a lot of people from who don't live in San Francisco saw the biased news coverage and thought, these guys are giving cyclists a bad name, and it's just going to cause nothing but trouble. But here in San Francisco, it seems like what actually happened, there was a backlash against cyclists. You know, it seemed that way. Everybody was talking about it. But maybe any publicity is good publicity, because it definitely made it easier. It made it possible to talk about taking away a lane of traffic on Valencia Street. That was something that was just unheard of, the idea of taking away capacity. And so the tape ends. So, just want to name some other names that were involved, people that were involved in the bike lanes on Valencia and San Jose. There was Paul Nixon. There was a man named Jim Morrison. No, not that Jim Morrison. Nicole McMorrow. Anna Sojourner was volunteering for a while there. And lots of other people. It was quite a big crowd of people that spent some time here and there working on that thing. So that's great. Next thing. I'm going to try and do a weekly podcast events calendar. So, let's see if I can get everything up here. Looking at the San Francisco events. San Francisco Bicycle Advisory Committee's meeting, March 17th, 6:15 p.m., City Hall, room 408. There's going to be, on Saturday, March 19th, a birdwatching by bicycle ride on the Iron Horse Bicycle Trail. You meet at 8:15 outside the turnstile at Dublin Pleasanton BART, out there in the sticks. You join the Golden Gate Audubon Society at this bird watching by bicycle field trip, led by experienced birders who wish to share their knowledge and love of birds with others. Excuse the sound of my trackpad here. on Saturday, March 19th. This is all in San Francisco. Street skills class, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Richmond Police Station. In the community room at 461 6th Avenue at Geary. A four-hour in-classroom course that teaches the basics of safe and enjoyable cycling, including riding in traffic, the necessary equipment, crash avoidance. Always good to have crash avoidance. They're going to be folding the tube times at the Bicycle Coalition at 995 Market Street in their new digs. Folding, 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 get those tube times rolling. It's the bi-monthly tube times folding party. And of course, on Friday, March 25th, Critical Mass, 6 p.m., Justin Herman Plaza at the foot of Market Street. And I seem to have closed the website. Okay, here we go. In New York. We're covering New York, too, here. In from the Time's Up calendar, we've got on, today's the 16th, so we'll start with the 17th. Bike Mechanics Skillshare, 6 p.m., 49 East Houston Street, between Mott and Mulberry. Also on that night, tomorrow night, or tonight, depending on when you're listening to this, March 17th, Thursday, at 8 p.m., Movie Night, at the Time's Up Space, 49 East Houston Street, between Mott and Mulberry, also Mulberry at the same spot. On Friday, The Freedom Ride, at 11 a.m., Columbus Circle, entrance to the Columbus Circle entrance to Golden Gate to Central Park. Concentrate, John, on what you're doing here. That is actually on Saturday the 19th. And on the 20th, there's the Rock-a-Bike Peace Picnic at 12 p.m. at Marcus Garvey Park. What else is going on? Oh, I also want to invite everybody to come to the March 11 a.m. at Dolores Park in San Francisco. There's going to be an anti-war march. There's people out there fighting for your right to drive a car. So I'm going to be doing a podcast from there as well. We'll be talking about how many people go to these marches and drive there, and how many people ride bikes when they get there. Maybe we'll find some people on bikes and talk to them about the war. So everybody have a great week, and I'll be seeing you on Monday, Tuesday, maybe Wednesday if I'm lazy. And thanks a lot from Bikescape. And we always appreciate mail, by the way, at Bikescape at sbcglobal.net. And you can look at our website at bikescape.blogspot.com. Thank you very much, and have a lovely week.